Our meditation is on Saint Patrick, model of humility. First, a few words about his biography. He was born in Wales and the year of his birth is commonly identified as 385, and he died in Ireland in 461. At the age of 16, he was stolen, in fact, by Irish marauders who took him to Ireland, and there he was a slave. He was stolen at the age of 16. Until 22, he was in slavery. He managed to escape from his slavery in Ireland and got himself onto the continent, where he was ordained both priest and bishop and commissioned to go back to those who had held him in slavery and convert them. His father had been a Roman procurator. Tradition tells us his father had been an ordained deacon. He spent the rest of his life, when he came back to Ireland, evangelizing and meeting a great deal of opposition. He wrote the one writing on which I shall base this meditation, called My Confession. He was betrayed, calumniated, and suffered immensely. He is commonly and appropriately called the Apostle of Ireland. He did not write much, as we've just mentioned. What I want to do, however, is quote in sequence on his writing, particularly his manifestation of humility. And remember, each of the saints honored as such by the Church had to be outstanding in holiness, otherwise they would either not have been canonized, or as in Patrick's case, would not have been recognized as saints after their death and their sanctity accepted by the Bishop of Rome. Each of these statements, I repeat, will reveal one or the other aspect, especially of St. Patrick's humility, and in the process, the purpose, of course, is that we might look into our own selves and ask ourselves under God, what should I do to become? And I can say this safely, each one of us for ourselves. I do need, Lord, I sure need to become more humble. Each of these will be a quotation, followed with some application to ourselves. I, Patrick, the sinner, one of the most illiterate and the least of all the faithful, and contemptible in the eyes of very many. Unquote, Patrick. Among the lessons that this statement should teach us is that the judgment, let's call it the adverse judgment of other people about us, is meant, that's the purpose, it is meant to assist us to become more humble. When he identifies himself as contemptible in the eyes of very many, he meant it. He was contemned. And that was part of God's providence to ensure that Patrick would indeed might grow in humility. The critical unpleasant, dare we say, the contemptible judgment of others about us is part of God's providence. Second quotation. I was just like a stone lying in the deep mire. He that is mighty came, and in his mercy lifted me up, and truly raised me aloft, and placed me on the top of the wall. Unquote, Patrick. Notice the two things that we are being told. It was God who, in Patrick's judgment, raised him, having declared his absolute contemptible unworthiness. Then, being honest, admitted, I have been raised from the mire. I've been placed at the top of the wall. But whatever stature I now have, it is all, comma, all the work of the Almighty. Notice, as we have been saying, humility does not deny either the gifts that we have or the position that we may hold. But all the while, authentic Christian humility gives all, once more, all the credit to God. Quotation number 3. I am a fool. The abhorred of this world, unquote. Notice again the two judgments that he is making. A fool, by definition, is out of his mind. Patrick recognized that of himself, he is, whatever synonym you use, a numbskull, an idiot, in his own language, a fool. But then he says, abhorred of this world. Once again, it is the judgment of others that in God's providence contributes to what God most wants of us, the most fundamental virtue of the moral life is humility. And God, in his wonderful mercy, provides us with means of recognizing who and what we are of ourselves. In St. Patrick's language, fools. Quotation number 4. I blush and am exceedingly afraid to lay any claim to education because I am unable to make my meaning clear in any words I use, especially to the learned. What are we being told? Given the training that, well, priests received, Patrick did not get much education. And among the people with whom he worked to evangelize, there were already then, in those early centuries of Christianity, some well-educated and learned people. Patrick admitted, I'm no match for their intelligence. That is why, as the history of the conversion of Ireland shows, Patrick did convert the whole nation, but he concentrated on the uneducated, the unlearned. Christ's words, that I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, and poor not only monetarily, but poor in education. You might even say poor in intelligence. Of the 202 registered colleges and universities in America, I don't believe, and they call themselves Catholic, I don't believe a dozen are still Catholic. Almost all my priestly life has been teaching in universities and divinity schools. How well I know, how sadly well I know, how hard it is for intellectuals either to be converted to the faith, or if they have been reared in the Catholic faith, to remain sincere, simple, believing Christians. Quotation number 5. I fear to lose the labor which I began. Let it not be open to me to preserve it. All I want from God is that I should always be part of his people, which he purchased at the price of his blood and wants spread to the world. He prayed, therefore, that those whom he had brought into the true faith might remain believers. First time in my 44 years since I completed my graduate studies in Rome, I've said this in public: pray for the people of Ireland. They're under demonic pressure. And I mean that word, demonic pressure, to give up their Catholic faith. That was St. Patrick's prayer. That those whom he had brought the true faith to profess might remain faithful even to the end of days and proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. For the size of Ireland's population, I can't prove it, but I think over the centuries, the largest percentage from any country of missionaries to the far ends of the earth have been missionaries of Irish descent. We continue. Remember, he is praying. This is now number 6. Who am I, Lord? And what is my vocation that you should overwhelm me? But he means cover me with so many graces. Notice what he is saying. And each of us, in our own measure, can say the same thing. Lord, who am I? Who am I? What can be my vocation that you should have overwhelmed me, covered me with so many graces? And as we know, by now, I wager to say 10,000 volumes have been written on the spirituality of St. Patrick over the centuries. What he implied by this prayer to our Lord was, Lord, is it possible that you have showered me with so many graces? But graces to what purpose? So that I might be an instrument in your hands to bring others to Christ if they've never known him, and closer to him if they already believe in him. In other words, the salvation of souls, that's why God gave me so many graces. This is, I repeat, a profound insight. The graces that God gives us are never, I don't say exclusively, I would even dare say mainly for ourselves, that God might use us to the graces he gives this very poor vessel, that we, each of us individually, to be a channel of God's grace through us to others. Quotation number 7. Whatever happens to me, whether it is good or bad, I should equally accept and always give thanks to God. And Patrick had more than his share of bad things happening to him, beginning with his enslavement at the young age of 16. And then when he was sent to Bing, Ireland, to the True Faith, he paid dearly for his zeal. The last thing that the overlords of Ireland wanted was Christianity. And this should teach us something. the lords of this world, the political leaders. Depending on the period of history you are talking about, the kings, the emperors, the czars. The czars, the presidents, and the woman presidents. The United States is governed by a woman. All my friends in Washington tell me William Clinton is just a child. Hillary is running this nation. What do these powerful leaders want? What else? More power. And more power over the wills of those whom they condescend to call citizens. Patrick had the experience, and that's the price you pay. It's a heavy price. The more zealous you are, you don't have to go around preaching or appearing on television. Indeed, as the Holy See has been telling me, and the Holy Father personally, either the United States gets some control of the media, or I fear for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. Back to St. Patrick. I should equally accept what is pleasant or what is painful and give thanks to God that is using me. And by that time, Patrick had identified that me and put it down on the lowest possible scale of human values. Quotation number 8. Where did I receive the great saving gift to know and love God? How we all need this. We know what the answer is. It is the most fundamental, the most basic and indispensable of all the gifts that God has given us. That He has given us the knowledge and love of Himself. In other words, this is the great gift that God has given to us, for which we should spend our life thanking, what I've said more than once, not just verbally expressing our gratitude, This means not just thanks thinking or thanks speaking, but thanksgiving and giving what to whom? Giving ourselves to God. Believe me, that is not pious rhetoric. What a difference, what a mountain of difference between two people, both of whom say, believe in God. But one has the faith and takes it for granted. Another has the faith and realizes it is the most precious because the most indispensable gift of everything else in our lives. The knowledge of God with our minds and the capacity to give ourselves to God with our wills. That's the only reason we have a will. To give it back to the God who gave it to us. Quotation number 9. Where did I deserve the grace to leave my country and my relatives and come to Ireland to preach the gospel and to suffer persecution, even to chains. Among the less well-known or publicized aspects of St. Patrick's life, he was enslaved as a young man, and he was imprisoned as a bishop. And he asks, where did I deserve this grace to leave my country and my relatives and come of all places to the nation that had enslaved me in my youth? Again, how hard it is, and what an understatement, how hard it is to recognize now the trial that God sends us, the unacceptance or the even open opposition, rejection, and persecution. How we especially today, to realize that the most priceless graces in our lives are the most painful. Painful to our natural selves. Things we'd never choose if we had our choice. But that God gives us the privilege of choosing by acceptance, and more, believe me, than choosing by resignation, because, say, we have no other choice. Oh, no. The dearest graces in our lives are those which God gives us, enabling us to surrender, to give up what we like, and moved by the most powerful force in the universe, love. Needless to say, it takes special grace to be a missionary, and, my dear sisters in Christ, we are all called to be missionaries. As we've been saying, the graces that God gives us are meant to be used by us, in order that by our cooperating with the grace that we received, souls whom we may never meet this side of eternity will reach heaven, because we, and how this needs to be said, and bishops and priests. What a statement. To have a vocation to be a missionary to priests and bishops. And speaking with Father Liam this morning, I told him the Vatican figures are that the Catholic Church in America has lost some 8,000 priests in the United States who have left the priesthood. Said Father Liam, that's a low figure. We have been given the grace to spend ourselves, exhaust ourselves in prayer, in sacrifice, in all the virtues that our state of life demands. God, He'll take care of the disposition of the graces that we merit, but we must cooperate with our graces given to us, I repeat, for apostolic purposes. Finally, quotation 10. If I am worthy, I am ready freely to give up my life for His name. As we've said before, and St. Patrick is just saying this 1600 years ago, everyone to either bring souls back to Christ or bring them Christ whom they've never known, we must be. And that imperative is part of our faith. We must be ready for martyrdom. Believe me, that is no cliche. We shall be only as effective instruments of God's salvific grace to others, as we are ready to lay down our lives . And let me tell you, and I'm speaking from experience, and the most painful death is not, I assure you, in body. To have one's reputation destroyed, have one's good name ruined, the price we have to pay, I assure you, is high. But in the spirit of St. Patrick, the price is worth it. God did not become man and die on the cross, shall we say, coincidentally. He anticipated everything that, as you mistakenly say, happened to him. Nothing, nothing, nothing ever happens with God. Nothing. Everything is part of his mysterious, and believe me, very mysterious providence. If God became man, anticipating he would be rejected, ostracized, cursed. Everything that his enemies could do to his reputation, they did. And finally, they bribed one of his own followers. Then, being betrayed, he was crucified. Forty-eight and a half years of the priesthood. Teaching priests for over 25 years. Working for the congregation for the clergy. Again, another 25 years has taught me a lot. The more firmly you hold on to your faith, to the vocation that Christ gave you, the more you must expect not to be accepted by the world as Christ told us, what they have done to me, if you are faithful to me, they will also do to you. What is the fundamental reason for the world, having crucified Christ, and over the centuries, in countless ways, crucifying his followers? The world does not want to be told the truth. And this is what we must be willing. And let me tell you, I've been in villages long enough myself to talk with some, I won't even say slight, extensive experience with religious life. You don't have to go to the Sudan or closer to Cuba can pay dearly for your loyalty to Jesus Christ. Living in a religious community, I mean it, can be costly. We assume good faith. We assume goodwill. But we better also assume that every human being has his, or for you, her own will. The sacrifice this can demand in living with what else? Shall I say other self-willed persons? Is all part of the joy of following in the footstep of our Lord. One final observation. Our vocation is to save souls. That's a generic postulate for every religious institute approved by the Catholic Church. The object of our apostolic zeal will differ. We Jesuits have been concentrating over 400 years on the intelligentsia. Others engaging in an apostolate among the sick or those in prison. And the handmaids of the precious blood in the apostolate to save and sanctify priests. And these souls, your present purpose, the souls of priests, deserve our sacrifice. How we desperately need to learn the hardest lesson of our lives. We should not even ourselves reach heaven unless we surrender our wills to the inexorable will of God. And more than that, we shall be only as effective and zealously achieving in bringing other souls not just to salvation, but to sanctity in the exact measure that our lives of sacrifice. And believe me, the Catholic priesthood in the world today needs souls that are ready, willing, thrilling to surrender themselves completely to Jesus Christ, because the future of the Church depends on the sanctity of her priests. I have a closing prayer. He You may recognize it. It's called the breastplate of Saint Patrick. I bind myself today to God's power to guide me, to God's might to uphold me, to God's wisdom to teach me, to God's eye to watch over me, to God's ear to hear me, to God's word to give me speech, to God's hand to guide me, to God's shield to shelter me against the seductions of sin. Christ, protect me today against an untimely death, that I may receive abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. To salvation from Christ the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.